From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The New York Times marks its 150th anniversary in a special supplement to today's paper. The anniversary was actually several weeks ago, but the September 11th attacks postponed the paper's observance of its own birthday. Such journalistic observances run the risk of being unrelenting and uncritical self-celebrations. But the Times includes a piece that begins, "And then there was failure." What follows is the story of how America's best newspaper failed to cover one of the most important stories of the 20th century, Nazi Germany's campaign to exterminate the Jews. The story is written by Max Frankel, who came to this country as a refugee from Germany and rose to be executive editor of the New York Times. He's now retired. Mr. Frankel, first, how do you measure the paper's failure to cover the Holocaust?
Well, failure to cover is actually not quite on the mark. We did cover a good deal of the reportage out of Europe, but we buried it. We hid it from our readers. We failed to feature it. We failed to analyze it. And it's a remarkable demonstration of how you can report things and print things, but make no impression allows true comprehension.
You counted the number of times that the front page of the New York Times had some mention of Hitler's campaign against the Jews.
Only six times in nearly 6 years.
This was all happening, as you describe it, after doubts about the initial reports of mass murder in Europe had been dispelled. People at the Times knew, or assumed at least by that time, this was true.
That's right. And some of our correspondents were passionate and fervent in the language that they used. I'm not sure we would allow some of that language today. They were so overwrought about what was happening.
Why? What kept the story off the front pages for so many days and buried deep inside the paper?
I think a major reason is the attitude of the publisher and of the of his family, the Sulzberger family, who were hypersensitive in a essentially anti-Semitic era through the 30s and heading into World War II about being regarded as a Jewish newspaper and somehow wanting to plead for special Jewish causes. Secondly, as part of that attitude, he created the notion that what was happening to the Jews was really no different than what was happening to millions and millions of other Europeans. And then, too, he was following the cue of the British and American governments, and those governments were terrified of either arousing Arab resentment by seeming to favor a Jewish state in the Middle East, and then of worrying about immigrants knocking on our doors. After all, we were just coming out of depression, and the notion that America and other countries should open their doors to millions of refugees, as they were afraid would happen, that argued against emphasizing what was happening to the Jews.
Now, the New York Times was not the only party at fault here.
Not at all.
The columnist Walter Lippmann, for example, notably ignored the subject. Some would say because, or some would say despite the fact that he was Jewish.
That's right.
But even though you can find that the Times' behavior was not egregious, you do reserve special responsibility for the New York Times.
That's right. We were the preeminent newspaper covering World War II affairs, and I think many other newspapers would have taken a different attitude if we had properly focused on this story.
Now, to include your piece in the newspaper's in-print birthday party suggests some real serious commitment here to self-reflection on failure. Whose idea was that?
Absolutely. The immediate idea was Joe Lelyveld, the now retired executive editor. Joe and I and Abe Rosenthal before me were in quick succession three Jewish editors of the New York Times, and we were often berated by the Jewish community for anything critical we might have written about Israel's government or policies or anything that seemed to favor the Palestinian issue. And we've had to do battle because of this terrible neglect in World War II. The attitude of the New York Times came under minute examination by Jews, and they gave us a lot of grief. And I leapt at the chance to finally set the record straight.
Well, Mr. Frankel, thank you very much for talking with us about this.
Great pleasure.
Max Frankel, former executive editor of the New York Times.